Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
How did the establishment of the modern state of Israel change the world? You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And we're going to be talking about this topic as well as the present instability of the Israeli government after our fourth election inside of around 2 years. We are going to also be talking about the Biden administration and how things are changing in the Middle East despite him and because of him, both. I want to say hi to everybody who's listening in from all over the world, from the United States, all over Israel, all over Canada, the United Kingdom, Germany, Ireland, France, Australia, and other places as well. It's good to have you listening in from everywhere. And again, if you appreciate our programming, go on to our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com and look for the donate button and consider supporting us. All right. So the present instability of the Israeli government right now, if you've been following Israeli politics, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been asked by the president to try to form the next government. And all the coalition talks are going on, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to make a coalition of at least 61 seats out of the 120 seats in the Knesset. Again, they have to have more than half in order to vote and get their way through and to keep a government going. They're trying to get a coalition of 61 seats, but people and parties are falling short. Netanyahu has, I believe, around 58 seats, something like that. It goes up, goes down a seat or two. And we are looking at Yair Lapid trying to form something, Gideon Saar trying to form something, Naftali Bennett trying to form something. And the latest news is Naftali Bennett from the Yamin, the new right party, is saying that he'll join the government, a right-wing government, but he wants Smotrich from the National Zionist Party to join as well. So there's all these little plays and deals and conditions. And so far, nothing. Nobody can agree. And people are, I think they said, they took a poll and they said that perhaps even up to 80% of Israeli citizens believe that we will be going to fifth elections in the next several months. We'll be right back.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And we are live, if you're listening on Sunday afternoon between 4 to 5 p.m., holy time right here in the land of Israel. Or if it's between 9 to 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, it means that we are live and you can call in to the show with any comment or question relevant to the topic that we are speaking about. We are going to be talking about, since this week is a very special week here in Israel, we have two days that we observe. One is called Israel's Memorial Day for our fallen soldiers, people who fell here in Israel in order to give us this modern state of Israel. And afterwards, followed immediately by Israel's Independence Day. And on that day, there is a big ceremony on the night of, and it's really fantastic production that the government puts on. Really just amazing thing. I love it. I watch it every year. And then the next day, everybody goes to a barbecue. We all go to a barbecue, and the next day is not a holiday, but the skies all over Israel are gray from all of the burning of people's barbecues, all the smoke from the barbecues going up in the air. Anyway, that's how it looks here in the land of Israel this week, and we're going to be talking about how the establishment of the modern state of Israel changed the world. And of course, sadly, the present instability of the Israeli government today after four elections inside of around 2 years and 80% of the population today in surveys, or at least those who were surveyed, are saying that they believe we're probably, or at least there's a good chance we may go to fifth elections. This is crazy, but we're going to be talking about all of this, as well as the Biden administration and how his administration plays in the changing of global politics, despite him and because of him, both. Our guest today is Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. He is a researcher, former lecturer at Ben-Gurion University, and has authored over 80 books and 400 research papers on science, history, and more. He commentates on Mideast and world issues. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you.
All right. So where would you like to start?
Oh, with all that? Wow. How can you choose a place to start? Let's talk about, first of all, just sort of one central issue. The American administration under Obama, or as I like to call him, Obambi, the childish, ridiculous administration under Mr. Obama, declared what they called their shift focus, or whatever it was, the shift to the east, or however they phrased it, which actually was a bluff. They did nothing with that actually mattered in that sense. But the idea was to they talked about daylight between the United States and Israel, and he talks about how he was going to shift the emphasis of the United States government to other places and et cetera, and to confront China. And of course, none of that really happened. It was all blah 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 blah. It was all nothingness. And we really need to understand why. What's really going on in the world? People tend to, frankly, pay too much attention to the media. And I'm afraid we're sort of part of that because we're part of the media here, but tend to spend too much attention to what the media says and not what's really happening. So if I just take a trivial example, utterly trivial, you know, all of these people that are talking about the so-called green economy or the new Green Deal and all, et cetera, people don't realize that that's totally dependent upon China. That means, if you're going to talk about solar panels, well, 90% of the world's solar panels are manufactured in China. You're talking about wind power. 70% of all wind power, in terms of the technology, the machines, come from China. So you're really talking about shifting manufacturing jobs from the West to communist China.
So when he said he's going to be making millions of more jobs, it's not for Americans, it's for Chinese.
Actually, yes, that's true. And it's a very interesting point. There's something that's been coming out of India lately, repeatedly, that there's rumors that a very high official in China, a person very close to Xi, the Prime Minister of China, has been telling Biden, if you don't do what we tell you to do, we are going to hunter you.
Okay, so explain that to our listeners.
Remember, Biden's son's name is Hunter. Remember the so-called
right.
Laptop from Hell,
right.
Which is a new book just coming out, by the way, and all of these other things. Remember, there's a basic principle that all socialist or leftist or whatever you want to call them always use in part of what they do. Never pay attention to what they're actually saying. Pay attention to what they do. So one of the major points in Noam Chomsky's book about that, about how revolutionaries act in terms of the public discussion, is when you're doing something that you know could be a public relations problem, your best defense is to attack your opponent with the very thing that you're doing. So if these people like Pelosi constantly attacked Trump that he had some connection with Russia, it was because they had a connection to Russia. If they were talking about what he was doing in terms of favoring China, it's because they were favoring China. So both Putin and Xi have a major pressure points against Biden, because Biden's family has been sucking on that teat for decades now.
And so when China says that they're going to hunter him, basically they're threatening Joe Biden that they're going to make a big scandal.
Exactly. They can easily cause his administration to collapse totally within weeks if they release the things that essentially America has, the FBI has them, and they've been suppressing it. The stuff that's been on that laptop that the so-called social media companies like Twitter and Facebook attempted to suppress when the New York Post was attempting to publicize these things before the election. And that's only a very small part of it, of course.
Okay, but is it in China's interest to do that? Because they like Biden being in office. He's you know, doing good things for China.
Well, it's not in their interest right now to cause him to collapse, but it is in their interest to put a lot of pressure on him to make certain that he does more or less what they actually desire him to do.
And
so
what
for
about
instance, the whole business with the China virus, with the Wuhan virus? He towed the line very well, and he did exactly what they asked him to do. Exactly.
Now there's headlines in the paper talking about how China is planning on invading Taiwan and how that can disrupt everything. Can you say a word about that?
Oh, of course. That's an extremely important point. Anyone who, if you study a map of the area around China, there's something called the First Island Chain. There's a chain of islands off the coast of China. And it's Japan, it's Taiwan, it's the Philippines, and et cetera, and it's a lot of the other smaller islands. Basically, the idea is a very simple one. China cannot send strategic ships, warships, like submarines or surface ships, out of China towards the United States to threaten the United States without them going through this island chain. They need to conquer Taiwan in order to be able to strategically threaten the United States. They cannot do it today. It's physically impossible for them to threaten the United States in any meaningful manner. Right now, if the Chinese were to actually attempt to threaten the United States, they would need to build many, many, many thousands, some say tens of thousands, of strategic bombers in order to do that. They don't have the capability to do it. So they need to conquer Taiwan in order to break that geographic, it's not a U.S. naval blockade. It's a geographic blockade, or blockade in double quotation, if you will, that prevents them from having any military pressure upon the United States.
So the head of the
U.S. Far Eastern Command, what was his name? Davidson, I think his name is, expressed the opinion that China will be capable of attacking Taiwan under present conditions within a period of about 6 years.
I believe it could be even sooner, but
yes, it could be. But it's a question of preparations. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. It won't be easy for them to conquer Taiwan. Basically, in order to conquer Taiwan, what they need to do is annihilate it.
Or maybe they just need to...
The way they did it with Hong Kong.
Maybe they need to...
Getting an agreement.
Maybe they need to hunter someone in Taiwan and then get Taiwan to do what they want to do because the premier's son got into trouble.
The Taiwanese are real people doing an excellent job. They have a real democracy. They have a vibrant economy.
Hang on. We have to go to a break. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back. We're going to be talking about more changes and how Israel is important to the world. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and our guest is Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, and we're talking about the new Biden administration and how things are changing, not just in the East with China, but also in the Middle East, and perhaps is it because of him or in spite of him? So, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, let's turn our vision now towards the Middle East, where Israel is. And then we'll wind up with Israel's Independence Day and how important the modern state of Israel is to the world.
Okay, let's shift by stages. Okay, so one of the things that we know about is that one of the things that drives the world in any way of looking at things is, of course, the economy. Economy is a big portion of everything that happens in the world. Of course, everybody knows that. That's a trivial statement. Well, China has been made fantastically rich over the past few decades by the ridiculous actions of various American administrations since the time of Kissinger and Nixon, and we all know that China has tremendous leverage in terms of economics. So one of the things that China is doing is what they call the Belt Road Initiative. Pardon me. The Belt Road Initiative says that they're going to recreate a global so-called Silk Road around the world to facilitate Chinese trade to various nations of the world. That's the sort of the cover story.
Okay.
But it's actually much more than that. What they're actually trying to do is have conditions where they have significant control over many countries in the world. Now, one of the aspects of geopolitics that, again, people don't realize because they don't really study maps well, is more than 80% of all Chinese energy comes to China from the Middle East, starting from the Middle East, and going by sea past India, past the Straits of Hormuz, past the Straits of Malacca, and to China. In other words, just a moment, please.
Okay, this is live radio, and sometimes things like this happen.
In other words, they can't do anything unless the Indians agree to it happening. So if India wanted to assert itself, and one of the problems of the world is that India does not assert itself today, India could essentially choke China into submission at any point in time.
Okay, and?
So what China is trying to do, one of the things that China is attempting to do right now is create a land route from China through Pakistan to the Pakistani ports. And that's very interesting because that would then change the geopolitics of the entire region. And this is what we call a mega project. Mega projects are projects that are, first of all, very large in terms of the capital involved, and also create something which is basically world-changing.
Keep going.
So this would change the way trade around the world occurs.
Well, okay, so it would streamline things for China.
It would not only streamline, it would prevent the situation where India could choke China. It stops that from happening.
Okay, but so far India isn't doing it, and it has to be because it's not in India's interest to do it, at least at this time.
No, actually, it's not. You make an interesting point. It would appear that, but it's not that, because India really doesn't do that sort of thing because it is not assertive. India has the geopolitical capability, but it does not have the internal political capability to do that. Indians are not assertive people. They're too nice. I know that sounds kind of funny, but they really are. They're too nice people. And that prevents them from being assertive where it would actually affect things that that need to happen.
Okay.
So that's one mega project. And I said, mega projects, we need to talk about, for a moment at least, some of the mega projects that are occurring around the world.
All right.
Okay? Europe, which is a big economic focus of the world, when the European Union was first created, it was a third of the world economy. Today it's less than 10%, but that's a separate issue. Europe has one mega project today, the Nord Stream 2 project.
The what? Repeat that?
The Middle East has 10 mega projects.
Repeat.
10 projects that have the potential to change the way the world functions, the entire world.
Okay.
And that's an amazing thing. That's one of the reasons why the Middle East really is the economic, the political, and the geographical focus of the entire world. And it always has been. Nothing has changed. It's been that way since the times of the Romans, and it's still that way. There is no way to avoid the importance of the Middle East unless you're stupid like Obama.
Well, I don't know how stupid Obama was. He made a lot of change, and a lot of the change that he wanted to make, and he's still, I understand, running a lot of things through the Biden administration. So,
well, yes, you're right. I shouldn't call him stupid. He's not stupid. He's more evil than stupid. Biden is stupid. But you're right. I shouldn't call him stupid. That's a mistake. I admit my mistake.
Okay, so let's focus ourselves now on Israel, because Israel is a state that's, number one, a huge power. Number two, according to what I understand, our leadership, and rightfully so, is going to refuse to go down, as we say, never again. And so we are a force to contend with. Where do we fit into this picture?
Oh, well, if you talk about, let's remain on the subject of mega projects. Let's look at a few mega projects that are happening around that are really important that are going on right now. So aside from the project of making a land bridge through Pakistan, another mega project is one of the reasons why the Abraham Accords were signed was to have a East Med a gas forum, which exists today, Eastern Mediterranean. There's an enormous amount of natural gas under the sea. It's being processed. Israel is the focal of that because most of the gas that's been discovered has been Israeli gas, with also some gas in Cyprus, some gas in Egypt, no gas in Turkey, no gas, appreciable gas in Greece. But these countries are all part of one forum. In other words, Israel, Cyprus, Greece, Egypt, and now, of course, also France and Italy have joined as well. So that's another mega project that's going on with Israel as a focus. Another one is there's a rail line being built now from Eilat to Ashkelon, which would essentially allow transshipment of goods circumventing the Suez Canal. That's a third mega project. A fourth mega project, there's a gas pipeline being built from the Persian Gulf across across Saudi Arabia up through from up to Eilat, and the Eilat Ashkelon pipeline already exists. It's to be expanded and upgraded, and that will allow transshipment of gas and oil across Israel. Again, a fourth mega project.
And to not just across Israel, but also a gateway to Europe, the European continent.
Of course. I'm saying this. Across Israel, it would circumvent the Suez Canal. It would circumvent the Strait of Hormuz. In other words, obviate any strategic pressure that Iran has. And this changes the way the world does business. Egypt right now has already spent $11 billion on expansion of the Suez Canal to make it into two lanes. We just saw a week or two ago when a ship got stuck in the Suez Canal and nearly 500 ships were queued up,
yeah,
waiting to go through the canal, because even for 1 week, the amount of disruption that caused in world economy was fantastic.
Right. I don't know if our listeners were paying attention to the news, but there was a big clog, traffic jam, because of a boat that got stuck in the Suez Canal, and it made hundreds of millions of dollars of damage and late.
No, it was tens of billions.
Tens
actually.
Of billions.
You're off
Thank
by
you.
Two orders of magnitude.
Thank you. I like to stay conservative if I'm not sure of the exact number, but yes. Okay. So with that, where would you like to take us?
Okay, that's just briefly going over a list of some of the mega projects that are surrounding Israel. Israel is a focus of all of these projects. All of these projects are dependent upon Israel, and Israel is involved in them. All of these projects are projects that Benjamin Netanyahu has been directly involved in them for the past years. They involve India. It's much more than what we traditionally call the Middle East. India is involved. France is involved. Italy is involved. Greece, Cyprus, Egypt. We just saw a few weeks ago a visit here of a very, very senior Egyptian minister that hasn't an event which hasn't occurred in many years. The entire world is boiling.
Okay, hold it right there,
COVID, which is tremendous.
We have to take a break. We're going to be right back after the news. Don't go anywhere.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
TalkRadio.com, and our guest is Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. We're talking about, as you all know, this week Israel celebrates, 73 years now of independence. It's the modern state of Israel. We're not a new state. We are an old state going back thousands of years, And we are reestablished now after 2,000 years approximately. And we are important to the world. Everybody's always talking about Israel. Look in the news. It's always about Israel, Israel, Israel. The focus is on Israel. Why is such a tiny country with around 9 million people? That's all. I think New York City has a lot more than that. Why are we such a focus? Why are we so important to the world? Dr. Mordechai Ben Menachem.
It's a very interesting question. It's really a fascinating question. If we look at the United States today, and I don't mean to say anything derogatory, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. The degree of societal violence in the United States today is the worst, or if that's the right word, is the most intense violence that any society has seen anywhere in the world for the past 1,000 years. The last time humanity saw this level of violence was during the European Middle Ages. In other words, no civilization, which was the European Middle Ages, the European civilization had totally collapsed. There was no civilization across Europe. Europe was totally uncivilized. And there was tremendous violence throughout Europe. There's tremendous violence throughout the United States today. If you mentioned New York, the United States has 10 cities which have over 1 million persons population. In each of those 10 cities, each and every one of them, there are more violent deaths in an average weekend. And this is statistics. I can show you the actual numbers. There are more violent deaths in an average weekend in any one of these 10 cities than in Israel in an entire year.
Baruch Hashem. Thank God.
So it's fascinating. I'm not saying anything negative about the in the sense of criticizing the United States. I'm making statements of basic facts. Israel functions in a manner today that is far different from almost every country in the world. I would say that perhaps Australia comes closest. It's a democracy in which even the smallest minorities, for instance, the Druze, have basically total democratic rights and on every level. They serve in parliament. They serve in the judiciary. They have there have been judges even in the Supreme Court. They serve in the army. They serve. There have been high officers in the army. I had an officer when I was in the army, who was a Druze, who, when he was my commander, he was only a captain, but he got out of the army as a brigadier general. And there have been many Druze that have done that sort of thing, serving very high positions in the army and in the diplomatic corps, and et cetera, et cetera. And that's true throughout all of the various minorities in Israel. If someone wishes to serve, they can. Someone does not wish to serve. If someone is a minority, like a Bedouin Arab, for instance, a Muslim Arab, he does not have to serve in the country.
Okay,
he does
so
not have to serve
the
in the military if he does not wish to.
So
what country has that sort of thing where you can choose to serve or not?
Okay, so basically you're saying that our minority population here in Israel, whatever minority they are, have it very good here. That's what you're saying.
Well, they have it very, very good. Of course, a Muslim woman in Israel can actually drive a car. It's almost the only – it's one of the very few Middle Eastern countries where that has never been in question. There are still Middle Eastern countries where she can't even – cannot drive an automobile by herself.
Okay, so we know that in Israel, Arabs enjoy more personal freedoms than in any other Arab Islamic country. We already know that as a fact. So – let's talk about the state of Israel and why it's so important to the world.
Well, as I said, Israel functions in a way that's different from every other country in terms of its economics, in terms of its morality. The ability of, again, a minority woman to start a startup company. Israel is known as the startup nation.
Right.
Anybody can start a business. Anyone can function at any level in any area that they like, and this matters. These are things. This matters in many ways. It matters on an almost trivial level, where you can say, well, if every person can do everything, then we get maximum value out of all of the talents that we have in the country, which is fantastic. I don't know if people are aware of it, but there was a superb, absolutely astonishing music video that came out about 2 or 3 weeks ago, a combination of a group here called Shalva, which is a group of young people with disabilities. Some of them are blind, some of them are with Down syndrome, etc. And they made a music video together with some artists from the Arab Emirates. Absolutely inspiring, beautiful video. This places Israel in a totally separate position in every area of endeavor, because this matters to economics, this matters to geopolitics, this matters to military power, this matters to what's called soft power. All of these things really do change the way the world focuses on Israel. It says in the Bible, Moshe told us, that the eyes of the world are on Jerusalem. We know this. This has always been the case. This tiny little country, which has, I don't know, 100 times more news coming out of it than countries 50 times its size. Totally does not make sense. But that's the facts of life.
So what? Tell our listeners why you believe that the world needs Israel.
Well, the world needs Israel, first of all, in terms of economics, because we're an economic focal point. The largest innovative center in the world today, maybe second to Silicon Valley, that's not even clear. We were second to Silicon Valley 5 or 10 years ago, but now with the domination of these enormous predatory giants like Google and Facebook, it's no longer clear that Silicon Valley actually leads. Israel has more than 1,500 new startups every year. That's an unbelievable number. Nobody in the world has that. Europe has fewer than one-tenth of that per year. Fewer than one-tenth of that per year. So Israel has more than 1,500 new startups every year, currently with nearly 7,000 active startups functioning today.
Okay, so besides technology, which is very important, and besides the economy, world economics, which is very important, wouldn't you say it's also important because it's a stable place in the Middle East, which is made up of so many different tribes? Of tribal Arabs and all the fighting and the culture that makes it a dangerous place here?
I don't think Israel is a dangerous place. I think that's one of the major misconceptions promulgated by the news media around the world and the Western world. If you look at news coming out of India, for instance, India does not view Israel is being a dangerous place. It views it being a very calm place.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about Israel per se. I'm talking about the entire Middle East. And then you've got Israel, which is a stabilizing
very stabilizing. It's very stable and stabilizing. Very poignant choice of words. It's stable and stabilizing despite our present political conundrum. But that's a temporary thing that will eventually be solved.
Okay, so we only have like a minute and a half left. So why don't you just finish that in 30 seconds or 60 seconds about our political situation today, because it is in a very unstable place.
Okay, look, we have a little problem. In a democracy, it's the meaning of the, if you go back to the Greek, the meaning of the word democracy basically is the people decide. So the people are the ultimate rulers. And the people in Israel for the last 2 years have basically refused to make a strong decision how they want the country to be run. So we have a political conundrum where nobody can really connect and form a stable government. This is a problem.
So maybe
not
the system
a
needs
problem.
To be changed.
The country is functioning very well without this issue. We're number one in terms of fighting corona, where the we have tremendous success with the coronavirus. Our economy is thriving. Everything is working here very well. We have no real significant geopolitical problems, no real military problems that are insurmountable. There are issues that we need, that we take care of, but they're being taken care of.
All right.
Israel is stable culturally. Israel is stable militarily, geopolitically.
So we just need to change our electoral system and our government, the type of...
I think we need to polish it a little bit, not make major changes. We need to make some minor adjustments. For instance, we need to differentiate between a regular election and a repeat election and make some changes, some minor changes in how that works.
Right.
Because we don't want to go to fifth elections. People are encouraged to make a more reasonable decision on a repeat election.
And go to six elections. All right. We have to leave it there. Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, Israel, as you said, very important to the region and to the world. We need to make some tweaks here and there, as you said. Absolutely. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. And I hope everybody has a beautiful and a happy Yom HaTzmaut, Israel Independence Day. It's good for the whole world.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.